And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Yeah, I asked the pet cactus if it wanted to participate. It declined.
You know, fuck your cactus, okay?
Yeah. He's a prickly son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
Gentlemen, what the fuck is that? Stop swearing so much. Maybe we have kids watching this show.
Oh, God. If there's any children listening to this, they're already fucked up. I don't know what to say.
We're educating.
Sorry, girls. You can't listen to Daddy on the show.
Are they there?
No, I was just joking.
Okay, thank God. Oh, man. So, Bogue, are you gonna introduce yourself like the old days?
I'm medium.
Well, we didn't start yet. I was just going to see if you were.
Does that make me small for this episode?
I guess.
Jesus.
Oh, hey, there's Potato up on the desk.
Well, what would be funny would be, like, you just start it like you know. Do you normally start it small, medium, large? Or
we haven't done that since, like, episode 10.
So what we could do is you just start the show like normal and introduce me, and I'll say, I'm medium. Little bit of a joke for the old school fans.
All right.
He's on the show now. Never mind.
All right. I guess we'll get this started then. Is everyone good? Any questions from anybody?
Why the hell am I here?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm sure everybody else is thinking the same thing. So
if not now, they will soon.
I expect to discover very soon.
Oh, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And no one knows who to talk next.
God damn it.
That's why I'm here, ruining things.
Okay, so Pappy's here. Bogue is here.
I'm medium, still.
And that makes me small for the first time in my life.
And then on top of that, we have the return of Mario and Zeno of Little Green Men Gaming. Games, sorry.
Hello. Bulgarian terrorists reporting in.
Yes, we have the Bulgarian terrorists back.
Yeah, we didn't ask them back. They basically said if we didn't have them back, they were going to hurt our families.
They actually broke some kneecaps already.
You just had to say that out loud in the public. You're ruining our reputation.
Now we can kill you next.
Now you're really getting hurt.
And Bogue's quality dropped immensely.
Grigori, oh. Grigori, reputation is all we have.
Bogue went from sounding like he's on a Skype call to sounding like he's in like a 1920s telephone.
No, it sounds like he's calling from like a radio in the trunk of a car.
He might be. Breaker 19, Bogue, are you there?
I'm here somewhere.
Breaker 19, we got the Bogue on the telephones. How are you doing today?
Thank you, football, for switching to a game's last 30 seconds so I can watch someone take a knee.
Is this better?
Yes, there you go.
Okay, well, then this is better.
What did you do?
I went back to my phone instead of my headpiece, my earpiece. I was trying to really cheat and not give you guys the quality you deserve.
We really don't deserve any kind of good quality.
I was hoping to still do some fishing while I was on the interview.
Are you fishing right now?
No.
No, are you seriously, like, out fishing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that is fantastic.
No, this is great. You're fishing. I'm debating playing Fallout during this.
You really should.
Yeah. They're in a cafe or something, and Joe's the only one actually taking this shit seriously today.
Oh, really? Was my quality so poor with the headset on?
It was, like, noticeably bad.
All right, well, then
was funny how bad it got.
All right, well, if I missed the big one, it's your fault, that's all.
It's whatever. It's a fish. So, Bogue, you are here today to talk to us about a title that you have picked up for review for SML.
Absolutely.
How crazy is that?
I'm so excited about this game. No. I am. It was really, really cool to see the girl's eyes light up. And honestly, this is a really cool game because it's kind of like Fable for girls.
Well, before we get too far into it, we should probably talk about what the game is. Little Orbit was nice enough to pass along. What's the full title of it?
The game is called Monster High New Ghoul at School.
For the Xbox 360. And since I'm not much of a Monster High fan anymore, I kind of grew out of that, you know. Mario and Zeno, do you even know what Monster High is? Do they have that over there?
Never heard about it.
Okay. It's
so I'm curious very much.
All right, so Bogue, explain to us what Monster High is.
All right. So basically Monster High is a high school setting where these children are interacting with each other and they are all daughters or sons of well-known monsters. Dracula, Frankenstein, the werewolf, that type of thing.
Okay.
Interesting concept.
So the cool thing about that is it's not Barbie. It's basically
true.
Barbie.
That is always a positive.
Yeah, it's Barbie for cool kids, the way I look at it.
It's goth Barbie.
Sure. Kind of. And they get really creative with who they introduce to this world. I mean, obviously it started out with the simple ones like Dracula's daughter, Frankenstein's daughter, but now they're introducing stuff like the Loch Ness Monster's daughter and Medusa's son.
It looks like the picture.
You need pictures on this episode.
So I knew it was a doll line and a cartoon. I did not know that they were video games as well.
Yeah, they have video games.
There actually was a couple video games. We have a few of them, but this is the first RPG, which I'm kind of excited about.
Ooh, an RPG. Maybe I should have played this. Shit.
Yes.
So you sat down with your kids and played it, correct?
I did, yes.
Give us the lowdown. Tell us about the game.
Well, you start the game off and you are the new ghoul. And they say ghoul instead of girl. So you're the new girl at school. You create your character. You get to pick between probably about a dozen different monsters that you are. You get to pick your outfit, your hair, blah, blah, blah. And just like any kind of RPG where you create your own character and you give it your own name. And that's kind of what I thought was exciting. And you make the monster that you want to be. And that monster is what interacts in the video game.
You're walking, aren't you?
Yeah, am I getting winded?
No, we're just hearing squish, squish, squish.
So, shall I stand still?
No. I just heard the squishing of the walking on dirt. So I was like, you're walking, aren't you?
Yeah. And I'm fat, so I'm getting winded very easily.
I'm getting winded just sitting here because I'm fat too.
Bogue's walking. This sucks. Oh, vampire.
Oh, my God.
I have missed having you on SML, Bogue.
Of course you do. So I can just rattle on about the game, or you could ask me some questions. Either way you want to do it.
Well, explain more of the game to us. You're the new ghoul in school. What do you do in the game?
Well, you start out the game, and there's three time periods in the video game. There's morning, there's lunch, and there's after school. So you have all these morning quests to do, and you do them before you have to report to class. Once you report to class, the gameplay goes to lunchtime, and then you have a bunch of lunchtime missions to do, and after that, you report to class, and then it fast-forwards to after school, and then you have some after school missions to do, and then you go home. And when you go home, you do home stuff like you clean your room and whatever, and you go to bed, and then the next day starts. I myself I've only gotten through about a week of school time, if you will. My daughters may have gotten further than I have.
They're more hardcore than you, obviously.
Way more hardcore than me. They're very excited. But you have all these little missions, and each mission builds on itself. And storyline kind of rolls out, and I don't know how far you want me to get before I start talking about certain aspects of the game, but it's kind of like your it's your Fable type RPG without the battles, you know what I mean?
So no combat at all?
No combat. You're helping okay.
It's high school girls. I feel like the combat is spreading snarky remarks behind their backs.
No, but you're supposed to be ending that kind of stuff.
Dracula's daughter is such a bitch.
Oh my god.
Dracula's daughter sucks.
So you have a store that you can buy clothing at, and part of the game is collecting clothing to change your outfits. And to collect your clothing, you have to collect these monster high coins that are spread out throughout the school, and that's how you gain money to buy stuff. The unfortunate thing about the gameplay is there's no rewards for finishing missions. Which I guess, you know, there's no rewards for finishing whatever you do in high school anyway. Nobody ever paid me. That's why I didn't give a fuck. But anyway.
I'm just wishing that life in high school was like the game you mentioned where you do lunch and then you immediately skip to after school.
Pretty sweet. Like, yeah. You don't have to do shit. If you don't want to, you don't have to do shit. You go to class, you go home.
Well, actually, I remember the last year of my high school looked just like that. I remember after school and during the break. I have no idea what happened in school, actually.
Yeah, I'm very jealous.
What you're saying is that's mostly a hardcore realistic simulation.
This is a real-life simulator right here. Collect coins, skip all classes after lunch.
More accurate than The Sims.
Sims are pussies, yeah.
God, why did I switch to the Eagles game?
Because you hate yourself?
I just watched my quarterback get sacked for like a 23-yard loss because he doesn't know how to let go of a ball.
On the bright side, the Steelers won, so...
Yeah. So anyhow, Monster High Girls.
Monster High Girls. I'm like, shut up, I'm a Bills fan.
Playing the Eagles, so
and losing by three.
So do you think it's a good game for, like, what age range do you think this game is aimed at?
All right, so the game is not much of a challenge for me per se.
So it's aimed towards like toddlers.
No, I think it's perfect for my daughters who are 9 and 10. I think if my 12-year-old son was a girl, he'd be into it, but he'd find it quite easy. He plays games like Xenoblade and Monster Hunter, stuff like that. But it all depends. I think it's a really good way to introduce the RPG because it's material that they're already into. And the one problem I have with the game is the gameplay is very much figured out. You are given choices, but your choices mean nothing. Like you're on student council and there's a vote and you need to vote. Like they force you to vote and you have to vote for or against this person. If you vote for her, the vote is 5-1. So if you vote against her, the vote is 4-2. It means nothing. It's like we didn't write the game for there to be any kind of controversy from this direct path.
So like Telltale Games, where you have many choices, but it all comes down to their choice in the end.
Yeah. No matter what you choose, your favorite character gets murdered and thrown off a bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So yeah. Just so everybody knows, Potato is presently sitting on my iPad.
Nice.
I'm staring out the window.
Again.
I think Potato would love this game.
Good. Good. All right. Well, I'm definitely going to have to look into picking it up for Potato specifically.
Yeah, specifically.
So what do you think, Bogue? Thumbs up, thumbs down? What do you think? What's your verdict?
I'm going to give this game a thumbs up based on the fact that unless a girl, a young lady, a young girl is into the vein of the RPG, she doesn't care. And this game is a good introduction to a the wonderful world of RPGs.
It could be a good gateway game to better RPGs out there. Like, not necessarily better, but like more in-depth RPGs.
More RPG RPGs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if I don't remember the first RPG I played. I think the first RPG I played was Shining Force 2. And I'm not even sure if that's really an RPG, sort of.
It's like a strategy RPG. It's there. Yeah, it's RPG-ish. Yeah.
And I was definitely smoking pot and drinking beer by that time. So,
last week, right?
Yeah. No, I'm going to say it had to have been like, you know, my later teens or early 20s when I got introduced to RPGs myself. Because I was just a straightforward side scroller Mario type of guy. So for like your late singles, early teens, I think this game is really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions for Bogue about Monster High, New Ghoul in School?
Well, no, Bogue talked about being late or early 20s, late teens, and RPGs. All I can think of is going to that house that he used to live at, and there'd be Remy playing Final Fantasy for like, what, 40 hours straight?
I don't know. I was so wasted, I thought I was watching a movie that never ended.
Yeah.
I know, it was about, great.
Yeah, for like 2 solid months, every single time I visited, there was this one guy who was just sitting in front of the TV playing Final Fantasy VII.
And I sit there, and I'd watch, and I was so I was invested in these characters. Until I was told it was time to go to work. I'm like, what, man? It's Friday. You know, seriously, we sat there and watched like a movie. It was pretty cool. Those are good old days. That house is gone.
Just straight gone.
Yeah, a flood.
Taken out in the flood.
That's the only thing that could destroy that house.
I feel like a big part of my my young adultness went away with that flood. I could always drive by that house and remember the huge smiley face sticker I had in the big picture front window.
Jeez.
Gone forever.
So much of my innocence gone because of that house.
You're welcome. But,
thank you.
But anyway, we should move on to our other guest. Bogue, I don't know if you want to stick around and chat with us.
Or if
you want to focus on, like, catching goldfish.
Well, If you're done with me, then I'll let you go. But if you have anything else you want to talk about, I can stay on the line.
How you doing? Bogue, what do you think of open world space exploration games?
You lost me.
What do you think about games where you have 360 degrees of combat?
That's hot, right?
I don't know. I suck at it.
That's way above boiling.
Yeah.
It is, noticeably.
Hey, I was really excited about possibly getting an Xbox One and getting Star Wars Battlefront until I saw one of the thousands of reviews for it, and now I'm like, dude, fuck that game.
Yeah, the only people I enjoy watching play that game when I hop onto YouTube is this one group that just dicks around. And they discovered a problem in the coding. If you stand in a fire to die, it'll fling you across the map.
Oh, God. So
instead of actually fighting the enemy for like 5 minutes, they just took turns seeing how far they could fling themselves from the fire.
So it's like space golf.
Oh,
there's Darth Vader. Well, fuck it. We don't care. Let's go die in a fire again.
Well, instead of Star Wars Battlefront, you could always check out this new release called Starpoint Gemini 2.
Okay.
Yeah, it's similar. Yeah.
It's almost the same thing.
Yeah. The main character looks like Jude Law. So.
Yeah. True.
So, for people who didn't hear the last Starpoint Gemini episode, Mario, Zeno, why don't you tell us a bit about the game?
Well, Zeno, why don't you go ahead? I lost my voice last time and I want to hear you swear. You had a week to learn.
Yeah, no fucking problem. Yeah. Actually, Star Wars Gemini 2 is, as Joe mentioned, an open space 3D tactical combat game. It's actually very easy to start and to get the basics, but it will take some time to master the game. It's not for teen girls ages 9 or 10, I can tell you that much.
It's not for my girls.
No, definitely not.
They're like, Draculaura.
Is that really a name?
Yes, Draculaura.
Draculaura. Oh my god.
I actually checked Monster High gameplay while Buck talked about the game, so I know pretty much what it's all about now. All
right, so why don't you tell us about Monster High then?
That was a Wii gameplay on Nintendo Wii, not on Xbox. But yeah, as Buck talked about walking around and doing missions, I was watching some guy do it on YouTube. So yeah, it's basically...
So it's very similar to Starpoint Gemini, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, it's similar, but we have more RPG elements. So we do avoid people for doing missions, and we give them money, we give them reputation, we give them skill points, perk points. They can get access to better ships during the game and better weapons. And the game itself does not end. So basically, you can finish the campaign of Starpoint Gemini 2 and continue to free roam as much as you want. We have people in community that have over 2,000 hours in the game. So,
good God.
Is there a level cap?
Yeah, level cap is currently set at level 80. But even when you come to level 80, there are still missions that you can do, and there are heroes to hunt and catch bounties and stuff like that.
On PC version, after level 80, there are still a number of CTVs to experience. So just don't leave the game too early. You can always have another mysterious crash.
Well, yeah. there's my goal then, is to make level 80 from only mining asteroids.
Oh my god, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's just... Never fight anything, just mine asteroids for, what, a good 300 solid hours.
So we talked about Pappy's experience with the game, and we've talked about my experience. We actually had an email from one of our listeners who goes by the name of Uneaten Lake, and the guys from LGM were nice enough to hook him up with a copy of the game after I talked back and forth between them, and he actually sent in a nice long email about his experience, if you guys are interested in hearing.
Cool, sure.
I'm going to say goodbye before you hit on that.
All right, Bogue, it was good chatting with you. We miss you at SML, and I hope you catch a fish.
Yeah, happy hunting.
Good luck, man.
I hope the fish won't catch you.
Thank you for the game. It was good fun.
Awesome. Glad you enjoyed it. We'll have to get you to freelance with us a little bit more.
All right. That'd be great.
All right. Peace, Bogue.
Later. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So on to this email from Uneaten Lake. He says, Joe/SML. First off, I want to thank you and the LGM team for the code. Feel free to pass this along to the team without reading it on the show if you think it may deter someone from buying the game. Too late. I'm already reading it. That's not my hope, but you never know how someone may take my concerns, because he does list his experience as well as a couple concerns that I kind of agree with some of them. And I guess we'll hear your thoughts on things. He says, this is all information based off time I spent playing the game this week. And per the information on the game hub, he has 10 hours into it. He has earned nearly 2 million credits, 9 achievements, 132 ships destroyed, and 34% game progress. So he sunk some time into it.
Yeah.
First off, his impressions. He says, first off, the game is gorgeous. Some of the skybox images are stunning. The pictures for the achievements are also great looking. I currently have one of them as my background image on the Xbox One. The music and atmosphere is one of the best I've heard in quite a while. Controls are smooth for the most part. Story is interesting, though I spend most of my time leveling up and doing side missions and freelance missions. I ended up going straight towards a main mission and ended up running into enemies that took me out really quickly. One of the things I enjoyed was the game was single player only. I didn't have to worry about some high level player swooping in and taking me out before I ever knew they were in the area. I can't wait to get a new spaceship and see how it handles and how different the game becomes, if at all, once a new ship has been purchased. And I love that there's only one load screen and that the game feels endless in scope.
No.
Any comments?
That's just beautiful. I'm almost crying, but I sense there's a but.
You sound really choked up.
Well, you know, basements.
He's at his concerns part, which a lot of them aren't really concerns. It's just things that players might want to know about before they get into it. First one, there's no hold your hands tutorial that's typical on console games. This may scare some people away from playing it or progressing into the game without doing some sort of research on the game. I'm not sure how hard it would be to do a generic tutorial mission or video for the game, but I'm sure it would be appreciated by some players.
Let me interrupt you here for a second. On PC version, when you start the game, you have tutorials that pop up whatever you do. So basically, the game is trying to teach you how to play it. Many people actually trashed us for that and said it's annoying. Those pop-ups are irritating, and they wanted them to be gone so they can just refer to help when they need it. On Xbox version, actually, we did just that. So basically, you can always pop on the help, and you can see basics. Everything is explained there. So it's totally different from the PC version, and of course, there will always be people that will prefer one over the other. So
yeah,
that's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because yeah, with the PC version, I ignored all the tutorials and then regretted it.
Yeah,
you stupid asshole.
Yeah, I skipped every tutorial and then flew into an asteroid.
Yeah, for once, I can say that I don't understand the player in question. I don't understand what he's trying to say. Most games have a first part of campaign is a sort of like you learning something. So the campaign is asking you to do only certain number of things until you learn how to do them. And I don't understand where he's getting with that. That kind of tutorial was actually one of the plans to do something more similar to that at first. But since the game itself is, well, it has a huge number of possibilities, the, let's say, tutorial missions would probably be longer than the campaign. That was actually a technical issue. And then we decided to go for the current version of tutorials. And, well, it's not too happy solution, I will admit that. But for next installments, we are trying to merge the two things. So we will try to have the pop-up tutorials, as we do have now. But at the beginning of the campaign, we'll also try to have several tutorial, so to speak, tutorial missions, just to let you learn the basics of the game, and then everything else you'll learn the way you're learning it now. I think the combination of two approaches could work better, but for now it's what it is.
That's fair. I mean, for me, tutorials have their place, but you know, it's so hard. You can do too much or too little, and someone's going to be, you know, disappointed no matter what. You know,
yeah, I thought how they worked on the console was fine. It was basically, if you need help with this, hit the button and help is going to pop up on the side, and then there you go.
Yeah, it's that's personal preference. I mean, even like with Fallout 4, I started the new game, and there's no way to turn off the fucking hints and tips. It's like, dude, I put almost 3 days into this game already, like 72 hours.
I thought there
hours.
Was a way to turn them off.
I'm stupid.
Yeah, we know.
If there is.
Anyway, his next concern, this is one that I agree with. He says the text on some screen seems really small, even on my 65-inch 4K TV. Not sure how that would look on someone's TV who is stuck in like a 720p world. I just came from only having 720p, and some PC ports made games almost unplayable when it came to reading text on the screen. I do agree there. I thought some of the text in the game was kind of small, but I am getting old, So that
I'm
might just be
to
my
his house. He's got a 65-inch fucking 4K TV.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I have 50-inch plasma, and I have to say that I can agree with him because I have eagle eyes, and I don't have any problems with my vision, and it's sometimes hard to read the dialogue, texts, or stuff like that.
Man, if only you had a way to get that message to the developers.
Yeah, yeah, it would be nice, yeah. actually, the problem is not when I'm playing on 50-inch. The problem is when I'm doing live streams on Twitch and when I have that Twitch chat on the site. Then the whole screen gets shrinked and I can't reach it. Yeah, so
yeah.
Basically I can agree with him. The font is a bit too small.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's something that could be patched or not, but when I first played, I had the TV snapped, and after 5 minutes, I'm like, I can't do this with the TV snapped, and just went full screen.
All right, next patch, double the font size and make it Comic Sans.
Yes.
Yeah, Comic Sans, sure.
Oh, my God, yes. That'd be fantastic. All right, next concern, and this looks like it's just a fuck-up on his part. He says, sometimes during battles, it seems as though the target I'm locked onto changes to another ship, sometimes a non-enemy ship, and breaks up the fight sequence. I think he just clicked the one camera stick, and it switched to a different target.
Well, to be honest, it could be his fuck-up, because when you're using the target lock camera mode, you can just... flick the thumbstick and it will switch to the next target. And if you press the right thumbstick, it will go back to the previous default camera mode.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me.
Yeah, just a little flick on the thumbstick will change the target during the combat. Yeah.
And so basically click the stick and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And when you have the target locked, do not flick the thumbstick because it will switch to the next target.
Which is easier said than done sometimes, because
if you're clumsy like I am,
you'll bump into it. So that's
happens to me too. Happens to me too.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
And we're not even the best of us, so it happens.
We're very low to the bottom. Very, very far down the list.
No, don't be so far than yourself. Come on. Potato doesn't think so.
Potato is factually better than me.
Potato doesn't think.
Exactly.
Maybe that's the solution.
There is no think, only do.
Potato licks toes, so that's where she stands.
I can't do that. I can't reach him. Tried it. It didn't work.
Next thing is, I kind of touched on this briefly on our last episode, but he mentions the 0 point achievements could be a reason some people won't invest the $35 to pick up the game.
Stop now. We screwed it up. I honestly admit we screwed it up. We didn't pay enough attention to achievements. It's stupid. I agree, it's stupid. Achievements that give you nothing are stupid, and others give you like 100 GPs, and that's pretty huge for easier to obtainable achievements. So, yeah, we can talk about achievements, but I admit it, we screwed that one up.
It happens.
This is the first time we released the game on the console, and it's a pretty new world to us. For me, it's not a pretty new world as a gamer, but as a developer, it's pretty new. So, yeah, it's our mistake. Honest mistake, yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool to hear a developer actually say, yeah, that's our mistake, because Night Squad had the same issue with achievements, that just a bunch of 0 point achievements. And then recently the game Starwall released with only 5 of the achievements having any point value, but apparently with them it was actually a screw up in the submission or whatever it was, where the points weren't assigned correctly, but apparently theirs was updated and all the points went to how they were supposed to be, but I don't know how that stuff works.
I talked to the team today about achievements. We had a long discussion about achievements, and the problem is we will try to contact Microsoft to see if we are able to change them now. But I think if it will include resetting all achievements on for all players, then we will skip it for now, because resetting some achievements like the campaign achievements is... we won't do that, because you will have to restart the campaign to gain those get those achievements again. So it will be stupid.
I do hope, though, that the kind of people who are interested in your style of game that you're offering will care more about getting a good game experience than their achievement points.
Yeah, there's too many people out there who are going too nuts over achievements.
Achievement hunters are achievement hunters. You have them on Steam. You have them on PlayStation.
There's YouTube channels dedicated to achievement hunting. Like, I mean, there's one called Achievement Hunter.
Yeah.
So. We respect that. So that's why I'm saying that we screw this one up. Yeah.
Cool. Next concern. I was never really sure if the items I picked up from enemy ships or asteroids were just for trading, or if they could be used for upgrades or anything like that.
That's not, it shouldn't be that complicated. All items, whatever he picks up, all items that are stored in, let's say, ordinary storage bay in his ship, are for trading purposes alone. Weapons and enhancements are stored separately, and you can see them when you go to
the items tab, yeah, and this is like trader tab.
Makes sense.
You won't accidentally sell the badass weapon you acquired. It will be stored in your items tab, and when you go to the dry dock, anchor on station, and go to the dry dock, and you go to the loadout, you will see those weapons listed in your ship's cargo. But if you go to trader, they won't be listed there. So if you sell everything in your cargo hold from trading commodities, you won't sell those weapons.
Yeah, that's how I figured.
These weapons are expensive, and you can sell them, of course, but you're selling them from a different tab. That's the only difference.
Yeah, I kind of figured anything you picked off of enemy ships or asteroids was just shit to sell, and I was right because I'm always right. I'm always right.
We're modest because we're best.
Exactly.
You're almost right, because if you use scavenger drones on a ship's derelict that you destroyed, you may end up acquiring a ship system or a weapon, but it will be stored in the different tab, so you won't accidentally sell it. But you can get good weapons from ship systems from derelicts.
All I heard you say was you're right, Joe, so
yeah,
I will accept that. lastly, his final concern is, I chose engineer and was never really sure if the hack ability I did was actually doing anything or when the time was right to turn the ability on. Again, this is probably something simple that could be done with a little tutorial of some sort.
Well, you have three classes, and engineer class is something the people say it's the best class when you learn to play it. It's hardest to master, and of course you have four abilities for each of the classes. When you start the game, all those abilities have one point in them, so they basically do shit. As you progress through the game, it's like that. You're nothing when you start the game. And as you progress and level up, you will have more points. When you start to put points into the certain ability, that ability will grow stronger. So basically, the ability, same ability, will do shit on level 1 and will do miracles on level, let's say, 20 or 50 or 80.
Okay, Zeno, you can cut the crap now. Just plainly say that our engineer class is in terms of how it's coping with other classes. It's completely fucked up. So it's not in a bad sense. The engineer class is absolutely has the worst possible. I don't know how what the word to use. In any case, you have an ability in engineer class that surpasses all abilities of all other classes combined.
Rift. It's Rift, and it can AOE like 10 ships around you. One shot them. When it's high enough.
Yeah. Damn.
And that's the problem that we actually knew about that. We realized that before the game was released on PC. And believe it or not, most players asked us not to nerf it. They just said they don't care because it looks fun and it's awesome to see, awesome to experience, and why don't we leave it as it is? So we decided to leave it as it is. But
and hey, if it's a single player game, it's not really affecting anybody else.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
No. Not really. But I mean, like, if someone is a gunner level 80. The sensation here player's gonna have when he reaches all possible maximum skills with the gunner class will be nothing in compared to when engineer hits level 80 and releases a rift anomaly in the middle of battle and just watches as the mother nature does everything instead of him. So
it's actually a huge AOE blast. Huge AOE blast. So if you fully spec the rift ability on level 80, it's hilarious because you just press rift ability and everything is dead around you, basically.
I might have to restart the game as an engineer now just so I could use that ability.
Yeah, but it's the hardest class to level up because gunner is the single target DPS, and when you start the game, the gunner is the way to go until you learn how to play. But as I said, engineer can be OP, especially at higher levels, totally OP.
Nice.
Don't worry, we'll nerf it just for you before you get to the end.
You sons of bitches.
Yeah, next update, before Christmas.
It's going to be a special patch, Joe's edition.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The next part of his email, he actually gives out tips for new players who might be listening to the show and decide to pick up Starpoint Gemini. And cool. If it's your first time playing it, he has some tips for you. First tip.
That's so nice of him.
First tip
is good
is to
at combat.
Yes, be good. Don't be pappy. Step one, don't be pappy. he says to make sure you double tap on the right trigger to set the power to engines to 100% so you could travel much faster than normal.
Good tip. Yeah.
Second, double tap the left trigger to come to a complete stop. Helpful if you're about to run into a planet. Or an asteroid like Pappy.
I didn't get an achievement for mine.
Use your map to travel from one area to the next, as it will put you in the direct path of the next mission or side quest or whatever, telling your ship to travel that direction.
You say side quest?
Probably. The safest way to get to your destination may not be a straight line, as it's hard to know if you're getting in, if you're traveling into a hostile area until you're actually in it.
Well, actually, we didn't want to do like World of Warcraft starting zones 0 to 10, 10 to 20. We do have the regions separated in level ranges. And if you go to Starpoint Gemini wiki, you can find all those maps with highlighted regions and level ranges. But if you're just playing the game, you will never know where can you end up, because it's not that the first sector is 0 to 10, the next to it is 10 to 20. You might have one sector which is high-level sector, and all around that sector can be low-level sectors. So you basically have to be careful where you fly into.
So basically pay attention.
There are only two ways you can get a hint. When you're flying to a territory that is not explored yet, a very nice female voice, some would say very annoying one, but I think it's very nice, the female voice will tell you entering enemy area, entering hostile territory or something. That's the first hint. And then you think she's stupid and drunk and she has no idea what she's talking about. So, of course, being a hero, you ignore her and says, I'm a man, I'm a hero of space. You can't tell me what to do. And then you proceed forward. After that, next hint should be when you see 57 red dots around you. that's the time you start the game immediately, because you just don't want to waste the save. So
And there's another tip. If you find yourself in that situations, and you will, it's good to stack on T-Drive equipment, because it's a panic button. Let me just say, T-Drive is a panic button. It can instantly hyper jump you out of any combat in an instant. So it's very expensive equipment. But since you're capturing ships at the start of the game, you will get some money, and you should always have at least few of them on you. So it's a panic button which will get you out of any combat, and you won't die.
It'll save your ass when you need it.
Yeah, total lightsaber.
I like the panic button.
And speaking of saving, his final tip is save often, which pretty much goes without saying in every RPG in the world.
Of course.
Yes. Oh, I just got in my ship safe.
It's a very good advice, because on Xbox you can actually save very often. On PC version, you can't actually save very often. You can save when you're near a planet or a station that's friendly to you. That's the only place you can save. So if you are on PC, if you play the game you play like a ruffian or some barbarian that hates everybody, then in about 10-15 hours, entire universe will hate you, and absolutely nothing will be friendly with you in that universe. And that means you don't have any save points. You have maybe two stations in the entire universe where you can actually save the game. And that can be a problem. And we didn't want to do it on Xbox, and we actually remade the entire save system so you can save. So that's a very good advice. Just don't try to use them that on PC version, because it would still be a good advice, and they would say our game is bugged.
So save often on the Xbox One. If you're on the PC, go fuck yourself.
See, that's why I play like a complete idiot, so the whole universe takes pity on me and nobody hates me.
Basically, on Xbox version, you can be a dick and get away with it.
Which is really what half the people on Xbox want to do with their games anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, he finishes up his email with some final thoughts. He says, I do plan on finishing the game. I consider myself lucky to have been able to play the game early, as well as have some sort of direct dialogue with the guys from Little Green Men Games. I currently have a huge backlog that includes Rainbow Six Siege, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Just Cause 3, Black Ops 3, Gears of War Ultimate, Witcher 3, Dark Souls 2, Arkham Knight, and Halo 5, just to name a few of the larger games I've yet to start or finish. Those are the larger games in my backlog. I probably have twice as many ID'd Xbox games that I need to get through as well. I mention that because I think it's important to note that I would wake up in the morning and get some time in with Starpoint Gemini 2 before work, and then play as much as I could when I got home. Thanks again to SML and LGM for giving me the opportunity to play SPG and give me a forum to be able to give my impressions, thoughts, and concerns on the game. I give it a solid 4 out of 5. Time to head back into the game.
Well, thank you. This was really nice to hear. I mean, it's Halo 5, it's Witcher, it's Rise of the Tomb Raider exclusive, and he's playing Starpoint Gemini 2. Yeah, that's nice to hear.
So I guess you guys did something right.
Yeah.
Well, of all the crap we do, it had to happen. It's just a law of great numbers.
Actually, I would like to ask him if we can switch accounts, so he can play on my account Starpoint Gemini 2 while I play Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Well, I guess you'll have to shoot him a tweet after the show.
Zeno is invoking resignation again. Everything you're saying.
Well, if I get Halo 5 and Rise of the Tomb Raider and Fallout and Witcher...
Remember,
there's nothing different than Joe firing me from the show every third week. So
yeah, it's fun to do. It's just it keeps him on his toes.
But much like your genital warts, I just come back.
Yeah, you never go away. Hey, I should let the Starpoint guys fire you. Hey, do you guys want to fire Pappy?
No, we missed him the last time on the show.
I need
a reason to do that. Actually, I don't.
Yeah, I'm not giving him a reason.
Get your stuff and get out of my sight.
Oh, damn it.
I see only a stationary picture. You're not on my side at all.
Oh, do I have a face? I have a face.
You have a face. No one wants to look at it. But
no,
you...
oh, God, no. No, I don't know.
Is that a fake picture or...
It's a real picture because I look sad.
I mean, Joe did a smart thing. He hit himself before beside the potato or...
Oh, that's Noodle. I miss Noodle.
It's Noodle. Oh, yeah. I'm terribly sorry.
I miss it. He was good. He's a good kid.
I'm always mixing up vegetables.
But Peppy doesn't have a slapping face like Joe.
No. I have to show my whole face because I don't have any pets to hide it.
We could always send peaches out to you.
No, I'm good. Yeah, send me the asshole.
Yeah, I'll send you the asshole cat.
I have a question for you guys, both of you. You're Xbox gamers for a long time. The thing I noticed is when you go to any games, game hub, and you go to feed, not any game, but the most I've seen so far, and like 15 of them, there is nothing on the game's feed. It always says they haven't posted anything yet. And I posted a small video of Starpoint Gemini menu and said, welcome to SPG2. And it's cool because people are liking that, talking to us. I answer those questions and they're praising the game, thanking for it. I don't understand why CD Projekt Red or Square Enix didn't put anything on the feed, like a simple welcome message. Is that something that nobody does? Or, I mean, it just shows the people that we fucking care. I mean, yeah, we're here.
I think that answer is it's the studio. Because I know, like, with Halo, they are putting up stuff all the time. And I think a lot of it comes down to how the studio feels about the gamers. I really think some studios, the bigger ones especially, they release their games and then they're on to the next thing. You know, and it's more like, okay, here you go. Now leave us the fuck alone. We're working on our next moneymaker. Whereas, you know, like... you know, the games I play tend to be the ones that are more friendly to the crowd. You know, like I said, Halo, Battlefield, yeah, stuff like that. And they tend to be very interactive. You know, hey, they'll post videos from other gamers. You know, they'll post welcome. So, you know, special of the week kind of stuff. And I like that. And yeah, I'll be honest, I don't really go to a whole lot of feeds when I game. And so I can't say how many do a good job versus how many do a bad job, but I'm willing to bet that you're going to find a similarity in the ones that don't.
Yeah, because I accidentally realized this because when I went to my account, my gaming account, and saw the Starpoint Gemini in recently played, under the game hub, it said, welcome to SPG2. And it's a nice short message which you can click and see it on the feed and like it and comment on it. And I didn't see that on Witcher, on Wolfenstein, and some other games. So I was puzzled if that's something that we did, which is... Are we the only ones that are doing that?
There are a few that do it, but unfortunately, it's just one of those features that a lot of developers and publishers aren't making much use out of. And I'm hoping that with the new Xbox dashboard having that community feed there, I'm hoping that will encourage more developers to start being more interactive with the people playing their game.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely better for smaller developers to maintain a positive community. As I know the IDARP guys use that thing too, and you know, constantly putting out ridiculous stuff.
I know the Project Spark developers used it all the time. They would even do like giveaways to people who were following them and like liking and sharing their stuff. It's a really, really cool utensil and utility if people actually use it. It's just no one has been as much as they should.
A lot of the games you mentioned are the bigger releases from the bigger companies, and I think they're the ones who probably feel like, oh, we don't need this. And they don't realize that, you know, you don't need it. But if you use it, it'll make you look even better.
Yeah, it just shows people that you care about them. I mean,
yeah,
it's very simple. And actually, you helped me with this because I will check Halo, the Master Chief Collection, and I will check the Spark because it's downloading in the background on the console right now. So I will check those feeds and maybe find some ideas for our own feed to make it more interactive. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see someone actually make use of the feed and the game hub in general. And again, with the new dashboard and everything there, I'm hoping more people will start using game hubs and being involved with it.
Yeah.
It's just a great way to get your word out there, and it's a great way to get feedback for you guys too. You know, if someone's got a serious issue, they can just go to the game hub. They don't have to hunt down your contact information on Google, you know?
Yeah, because it's harder on Xbox or PlayStation. On Steam, you have a game hub, and every game has its hub. So if you have any problems with the game or want to praise the developers or ask the question about mechanics or anything, you just go to Steam Community Hub and ask the question. And on Xbox, I hope it will be easier with the Community Hub now.
Yeah, that's Steam. That's a company, that's a company that's been doing things really well because so many indie developers get their start on Steam nowadays, and they need that feedback. They absolutely need that feedback immediately.
Yes, and an early access program, and
With Microsoft doing so many more things with indie developers, and the ID at Xbox, I think having that community hub there is them learning from Steam. And going, hey, here's a way to make ourselves even better and make more people want to release games on our console.
Yeah, and that's a nice thing they're doing, because I think that's the good path that Microsoft's taking, because with IDs are different than AAA studios. We all know that. And IDs are more open to people. They want to be engaged with the community, like we are on Steam and Good Old Games. And we want to be able to do this on Xbox too. So I really hope that this community hub will help us do that. And that's the reason why I asked you why bigger titles don't even have anything posted, like a simple welcome message or anything. So yeah, you explained it.
Yeah, and I think this, again, Joe and I are bigger on Xbox than other consoles, but this, I believe, shows more of the cross or divergent paths that Sony and Microsoft are taking. You know, Microsoft's been doing a whole lot with indie games, and yes. Sony
just don't give a fuck.
Well, and they seem to pick one or two big promising games and pay out the nose for exclusivity, and then just ignore the rest.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
and, it's different path, different policies. Yeah.
Yeah, and I honestly like the way that Xbox is doing it. You know,
that's the one that I really have to.
Yeah, we interviewed.
Praise them publicly. I mean, when we started for working on the version of the game for Xbox, I gotta admit, I had a completely different expectations. I thought they're too huge, too big, and too important company that corporation would actually go.
We interviewed South Korean developer last week, and who was it from Microsoft who approached him directly, Joe?
Oh, Phil Spencer at Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, Phil Spencer himself walked up to the developer of 6180 The Moon and said, "We want your game on Xbox."
Yeah, it was released this week, I think like 10 minutes before or after Starfield Gemini.
Yeah, it's so many games have been coming out recently. If you figure that the holiday rush is over and now all the indie titles are like, don't forget about us.
Yeah, this is the right time too. This is because people are going to start having free time. Kids are going to get all of those Xbox points, and they're already going to get all the big games. So go spend it on the indie titles. Find out for yourself that some of these smaller companies are putting out better games.
Yes.
You know, games that don't need a 7-gig patch for a 4-gig game.
Tony Hawk.
So, I'm sensing irony here.
Oh, man. So what's the game development scene like in Croatia?
Oh, you really want to go to hard topics now?
Well, I ask because I actually got another game, this one on the PS4, from another Croatian developer.
The name being?
Well, the game is Zotrix, and it comes from Ocean Media.
Yeah. From Vedran, yes.
Our calling Vedran planets from town close to Zagreb, yes.
Yeah, he's actually the one I've been talking with. He might be coming on the show later this week. Are you guys buddies? Do you know each other? Is there a rivalry?
Of course. It's fight? A small country.
Street fights, anything?
No, he's a bit older than us, so we don't beat him up or anything.
we know him pretty well. We haven't done any professional work together, but he's in business longer than we did, than we are. So he got some interesting games in the past, and he's now doing some interesting retro stuff again. So he's doing pretty well. He's doing interesting games. He's trying to release on all possible platforms, which is something we don't do still. But then again, we do much bigger games, so it's not that easy. But he's a cool guy. I think we'll have an interesting time with him.
Yeah, yeah. I really dug that Zotrix game, and he said that it is coming to the Xbox One next year. Is there any plans for Starpoint Gemini to make the jump over to PlayStation, or is that staying Xbox only?
I think Starpoint Gemini would break both legs if it would try to jump on PlayStation.
Yeah, because the whole game is in DirectX, and it was not that much of a problem to port the game itself. The bigger problem was to redesign the whole user interface to give the best possible experience to Xbox users. But with PlayStation, it's OpenGL, so we would basically need to remake the game for PlayStation.
Oh, you'd have to start over completely, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not...
We have this third project coming along nicely, so we basically have to stop working on that and spend, I don't know, maybe half a year or more for PS4. So I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not ruling it absolutely out, but I don't think...
Just rule it out. Fuck him.
Now, I'd rather see what your next project is going to be and get excited for that than wait an extra 6 months because you're putting it on, you know, you're putting a game that already exists on a console I don't have.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why we're not going to do it, because you don't have PS4.
I appreciate
it's
that.
It's just for you, Pappy.
I wish more people would listen to me.
If you, by any chance, buy that console or get it as a present for Christmas, let us know so we can reschedule our entire next year.
I've been enjoying your game on and off on Steam, but I... around Christmas time, I know I'm going to get Xbox points because as a single male in my 30s, no one knows what to get me.
And that's cute that you still call them points, by the way.
Yeah, well, I plan on picking up your game on the Xbox and trying that out because I'm just more comfortable playing it on Xbox than on Steam. So even though you guys were nice enough to – well, Joe was nice enough to give me the Steam code you guys handed out because my computer can run it, I'm still going to go out and use – real money to pick up the game on Xbox.
It's a virtual money, I think. I never handed out cash to my TV, just play with cards.
Oh, it's a special special cash machine I got for my TV.
Yeah.
I put in a couple of 20s and they gave me video games.
You should just mail the cash directly to them in Croatia.
Yeah, that would be nice. Because we have something that is called double taxation here.
Oh.
So basically Croatia and USA don't have a mutual agreement on single taxing. So when we sell the game on Steam or I think even on Xbox, Mario would know better, we pay the tax to USA and then we pay the tax to Croatia. And
man. Yeah, we're learning all about the game rules worldwide.
Bulgarian terrorists.
Yeah.
So you have to pay US tax, you have to pay Croatia tax, and you have to pay off the terrorists.
Bulgarian sure. Terrorists. That doesn't cover any other ones.
Just the Bulgarians.
Just the Bulgarians. Yeah.
It's a horrible world, I tell you, people. Horrible. Well,
so by the time all that's said and done, you're only getting like $2 per sale.
Well, $2 better than no dollars.
Yeah. So, Pappy, just mail them $3, and you're already ahead of the game.
There we go.
Yes, for the next project, yeah. We did not enter this business for money, and I don't think any indie developer entered the industry just to get bloody rich and send everything to hell and go live on Hawaii. But of course, you need money to pay your people to keep them going and to keep financing new projects. So, yes, double taxation is not the best feature we have in Croatia.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I was saying earlier, we're learning a lot about all of the legalities of making games worldwide, you know, with Australia's Kickstarter tax and South Korea's midnight
video game curfew.
Yeah, it's been really interesting lately learning about all that stuff. But yeah, I guess I'd have to say that you guys are definitely the majority. None of the developers we talked to were like, oh, I'm doing this so I can become rich and sit on a fat stack of bills.
Of course.
I mean, that's the true motive, but publicly, you're not going to admit it.
Yeah, I mean, think about the indie developers that got really big and actually made millions of dollars. Most of them didn't really do much else. You know, you got the Minecraft guys, you got the Fez guy.
Well, Phil Fish is, I think that he was offended when he offended everybody, then he was offended on the reaction, so he just gave up on it. But I think that Phil Fish is a guy who's really fantastic developer, and I'm sorry that he didn't. I mean, he is doing something now, I think, some kind of a project, but I don't think it will come as close, even close to Fez.
I think with him, the problem is what people don't realize is just because you're talented in one thing doesn't mean you're talented in other things. Yeah, you said he's a great developer. He had great ideas, but then everyone expected him to be great with the public.
Yeah, of course. He's not a people's person. He's not a community manager. He's a great developer. And I think the
only problem he had was he should have hired a PR firm to take care of his Twitter and Facebook and everything and not read any of it.
Not even PR, but the guy who can talk to people and not tell them to go fuck themselves. And that's basic communication. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with – I work in electronics, and I can easily say that out of my 40 coworkers, there's only maybe one or two other people who are people persons like I am. Most of them are what you would expect from technicians and metrologists in that they're really, really good with electronics, and you put them in front of a person, and they have no idea what the fuck to do.
I hate people. I hate – like, all three of you could go fuck yourselves. I don't even know why I do this show. I hate people.
You've got a good vocabulary to mix with your anger, Joe, so that already puts you a step above a lot of people.
Eat my ball sack, Pappy. Just pluck it off, boil it, have roasted boiled testicles, and just eat the full sack. Complete, like, salt it, get some dip if you need. You could teabag.
I'm assuming that's a win-win because you get to see me do what you told me to do, and now you don't have to worry about having kids.
Yay. That just means more cats.
Definitely.
So you guys mentioned it's not going to make a jump to PS4 because you'd rather focus on future projects. What kind of projects are you considering for the future?
Well, can you talk about it?
Yes, we can talk about it. I can tell you everything I can tell you. And what I can tell you is it's an awesome game. Thank you very much. Next time...
all right, so is there one thing we can squeeze? Are you shooting for a 2016 release, or will it be closer to 2017?
2016 will be released in 2016, but probably to early access, not the completed version.
Okay, I already have something to look forward to.
Yeah, but I'm kidding. We got some information already out there. So, well, next project it's called Starpoint Gemini Warlords. So it's a little bit different game than this one. The main feature of the game is that it's based on community suggestions. Entire game is based on community suggestions. So we added, last time we spoke about, we added over 30% of all features in Starpoint Gemini 2 is community-based suggestions that were added later in the plan during early access. So, Warlords will be actually a separate game that's going to use the same setting approximately the same setting as from this game, but it includes all the features that the community suggested like a million times. That means a suggestion that were repeated countless times, so most of them really want certain things, and they were way, way, way too big to introduce in Starfleet Gemini 2, because it would require redoing half of the game or more. So that's going to be Warlords. That's going to be a community suggestion.
Based off the Steam community?
Yeah.
Steam. And so I'm just going to assume that it'll be an 8-bit 2D platformer.
Yes.
With zombie survival game.
With 3.7 million achievements.
Yeah.
Starring kittens.
Well, basically, from some features that were requested by the community is that even though SPG2 universe is pretty big, they said we want it even bigger. I mean, those guys who have like 2,000 hours, they want bigger universe. Yeah. And we said, okay, it will be like 9 times bigger.
I can't even imagine exploring all of Starpoint Gemini 2 and people want 9 times bigger.
I have 250 hours in Starpoint Gemini 2, and I explored the whole universe like a year ago, so it's not that hard to explore.
Yeah, but you made the game.
Well, I didn't play with a developer console enabled God mode or anything, so I just flew from one side to the other, but I went on exploring, so I skipped the fights, avoided them. I didn't do any missions. I was just exploring the map, and it took me several hours to explore fully. I did die some few times between that, but you can explore it. 9 times bigger space will be harder to explore, but it will also give players more time to just explore the game without having to do missions, mine, or anything else. They can just be explorers in the full meaning of that word.
Damn.
When players ask for that, we were thinking about two possible options. One is to actually increase the space a lot, or to decrease the size of player, so it works better.
That'd be great. It's only two bits long.
Oh god.
Yeah, it looked kind of stupid when your ship was smaller than a rocket fired from another ship. So.
Yeah. Oh man.
Okay. It now takes you 15 hours to get from the starting point of the first planet because you're tiny.
That would be so dickish. Oh my god.
But we should do a funny mode like that. Just resize everything.
Oh man. I wish more developers would put like goofy shit in games. Like, you know,
you have the option to just put on a spacesuit with a little rocket pack.
Yeah. And just fly around. Just a tiny one pixel human flying around with a jetpack from planet to planet. And you have to use like a pistol to blow up asteroids. Pappy could have fun with that.
There we go. Yeah. You would have to take so much ammo with you, you wouldn't even be able to fly anymore.
Like Terminator in space.
I can get behind that.
So have you guys considered doing like any kind of different genre game, or are you just focused on doing the space exploration thing?
We're still thinking a lot.
Hello Kitty in space is the next project, but we will stay in space.
There are a couple of ideas, but we're not done with space yet. So
It sounds like you could get with the Monster High people and put them in like a space high school.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
That would be cool. And you would just fly between planets. You won't get any awards for leveling up or anything. And for exploring the planets, talking to Dracula guys or anybody.
You'll get coins.
You're not like going from planet to planet, exploring and, you know, fighting enemies.
Permission is to go to each.
You're just going and you're like changing your outfit and finding new fashion everywhere. And
yeah, well, and every time you complete a planet, you get a new recipe to take to the cafeteria for better food.
Cool. That would be just fabulous.
Now I want to see this happen.
Oh,
man. So Pappy, you weren't here the last time. How about you ask them some fun questions or
try? I blew my wad with the email. Yeah, I mean, they answered the most important question, the Jude Law bedroomize.
Yeah, we tried. We tried.
And no, I appreciate your honesty. There was a lot of drinking going on at the time.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you answered the questions I had. I've just, like I said, I haven't put a whole lot of time into the game, but I've enjoyed what I've had. And you're right, though. You go towards that first mission, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's 15 ships. Well, I'll lure one out. Oh, they don't work that way. They're not stupid. Well, shit. And hey, look, I didn't save.
Fuck crap. Your plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I appreciate though that the AI that you made isn't just an idiot. Like, was that a deliberate decision to actually try and make the enemy ships act like enemies and not just, you know, zombies that run at you and bump into walls?
It was introduced later. It was introduced later. So basically, now the enemies are using anything they have at their disposal, including equipment and abilities. So they're not just plainly shooting at you, trying to kill you with light weapons. They will use everything they have at their disposal, and that includes everything that you have at your disposal.
Yeah, I mean, at least from the difficulty level, I appreciated that, you know, because nothing worse than playing a game where once you hit a certain level, like level 20, it's never a challenge.
No, you know? There's one more thing. I don't know if you noticed that. Probably not, but... you have three difficulty settings in the game, and difficult settings are the game in some aspects works differently when you change the setting. So it's not just a simple amount of damage that you give or receive change, but for example, when you increase difficulty level, then hero units or weapon bounties that you hunt around the map will no longer be marked on the map at all. So you have to stumble upon them or simply follow the rumors around stations and find them out, or the pattern of behavior of every enemy will change in response to a difficult setting. So on the lowest difficulty, they will act as stupid as we possibly could make them to be. but they will still use some tactics. As you go through higher difficulty levels, they will use different, completely different tactics, different ship systems, different kind of damage, special systems, special weapons to disable your systems and stuff like that. So
basically easy difficulty is for we target people because
like us.
No, because on easy mode, not only that the enemies are basically stupid. So, Captain, somebody's attacking us. Okay, lower the shields. they're actually pinpointed on the map. And what's the point of hunting bounties? And the whole military, Gemini military, is hunting them. And the only thing you have to do is open your star chart and look, there they are. I mean... military didn't catch them, and they just didn't open the map and look for them there.
The military never bothered to go check out that beacon where the bad guy's going. Here I am,
Of course. So basically, normal is the way to play, and for some people like our Tamburas in community, he's a freak and we love him. He's playing on extreme every time, and he's doing that with Elite Dangerous too, so... he's nuts. He's basically nuts. But normal is something that should be okay for a majority of people, because bounties will not be pinpointed on map. You will have to visit stations, see their last known location, visit that location, and search for clues and find the pattern where they're moving and basically hunt them down. That's the point of bounty hunting, not go to the location where it says they here they are and just kill them because they're stupid.
hey, you can't find me. I'm right here, but you can't find me. I'm hiding.
And don't start shooting at me because I will lower the shield, man. Don't fuck with me. I will lower the shield and just die. Don't do that.
You don't want to mess with this.
How do you feel now, huh? I was innocent.
Yeah. Oh, like, man.
There was another, there's another very smart thing in the game. I don't know if you noticed that. It's really, we're incredibly proud of it. Completely. This is going to be an ad, but don't worry. We're very proud of it. Our pathfinding system. If you need to go one place to another, and you assign an autopilot to take you there, and between origin and destination is a sun, don't worry, we will not charge you more for driving around. We will go straight.
See, I would just drive into the sun. Fuck it.
Well, it's an autopilot. I mean, I'm playing Elite Dangerous, and the stupid standard docking computer crashed me into the station without any regrets. And I was just making my coffee and said, oh, look, here's some classic music playing. It's a standard docking computer. How fucked up can it be? It can. It can. I lost 3 weeks of progress.
Oh, my God.
It's Elite. It's hardcore. I love Elite. I adore Elite. But it's hardcore game. So basically, as fucked up as our standard dock, our autopilot can be, a standard docking computer in Elite is high tech.
Damn.
I'm telling you, high tech.
So you bring up Elite Dangerous. What would you say to people playing Elite and they're not sure, like, what do you bring that's different that Elite doesn't have?
Everything. basically everything, because... say, Mario.
Autopilot, that's what we're bringing.
Yeah. No, that's the same. Sorry, that's the same. Almost. But Elite is a different game, and it offers different experience. And when people ask me to compare Elite to Starpoint Gemini, I always tell them that it's like comparing Sims to Call of Duty, because both games have some people walking around. So it's not the same game. Elite is a first-person flight simulator in smaller ships. Even Python and Anacondas and bigger ships are still small in comparison to the starting Taurus ship or Squire in Starpoint Gemini. The similarities are that it's an open-space game and that you can be what you want to be. So basically you can be miner, trader, whatever you want to be, bounty hunter, pirate. That's a similarity. But the combat, the combat concept, mechanics, it's different, and it offers a different experience. In Elite, you have ships that have front turrets, and that's it. It's a dogfighting game, basically. And we have a tactical combat. I'm not saying that it's that it's bad in Elite to have dogfighting. I want that. So I'm just saying that there is no reason not to own both games and love both games, because it's not the same game where one is better and the other is worse. It's a different experience that both games can offer.
You complement each other.
Exactly. But we're better.
Obviously.
Well, currently... we do have more content than Elite Dangerous, but basically they have like a zillion times bigger space than us, so it's understandable.
I mean, overall, to make it a bit more like an advertisement, we're better. We have more of everything, more ships, more space, more bugs, more... Absolutely. The entire package is bigger with us.
Plus, you guys came on our show.
And not to forget that Mario is more handsome than David Braben. So
there you go.
That's it.
And you guys came on SML.
I'm not carefully observing Braben. What are you doing in your spare time?
Well, I bought David Braben bobblehead for my Elite, so I'm observing him when I'm flying around in Elite Dangerous. I mean, I love the guy. I played original Elite back in 1986, and he's a legend. So
okay, you're old. Don't remind us.
Yeah.
1986.
I was five.
I was
I was six and I played on Sinclair Spectrum back in the days. Later continued with New Elite, Elite 2 on Amiga 1200 and Elite Frontier and stuff like that. So basically I'm kind of a fanboy, Elite fanboy. So
I didn't get a Game Boy until I was 10 years old.
I only had an NES back then.
Well, I think I owned or played on all consoles that were released in the last 30 years or so. So basically,
the first console I ever had, I bought for myself, and it was a GameCube when I was 21.
I feel for you, man.
No, the family did it right. They firmly believed that if we had a console, my brother and I would never leave the house, and they were right.
So you came over to my place.
So I would always leave the house to go to Joe's and play the console.
Yeah.
Well, thank God we had a different experience. Well, our country is it's a bit different than yours, so obviously. But when the first computers and consoles arrived on the market, it was about 85 to 90% of people couldn't afford it. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's
they
true.
Were very, very, very rare things. And the fact that I became a very, very passionate gamer in the age of, I don't know, 10, it actually helped me getting out of the house because only one of my friends in the entire neighborhood had a console. So it's the only thing that kept me out of the house, because if I had it, in the house, I would probably stay all the time, and my mother was actually happy. Hey, he's always going out. He's always playing, and she thought I'm in a park or something playing with friends. Or
well, it's like, nope, I'm in a basement.
I was in the next building, sitting in the apartment the entire day. But she was happy. She thought I'm outside, enjoying the sun, breathing fresh air. But we were eating sandwiches and playing Wolfenstein. So.
I never had a problem with that. I mean, I didn't leave the house since 1996, so basically.
No, until I was really old enough to drive and had a license, I would only ever get to play video games at special events like, you know, kids' birthday parties or stuff like that. So, I'm a gamer now and I enjoy it, but I did miss out on a lot of the older stuff. You know, I never really played any NES stuff. But
Which explains your set face on the picture.
I don't regret it, but it does, I think, really explain why I'm so terrible at gaming now, because I never developed those, you know, the twitch skills to make really rapid-fire decisions and have your brain communicate with your fingers. That's why Joe beats me at almost every game we play, because he learned those skills at a young age. And
yeah, that's true. I have the same problem, and Mario has the same problem with controllers.
Well, it's not just that. I'm just a better person than Pappy.
No, I don't have any problem you guys are explaining. I have arthritis. That's all I have. Don't go too far. It's not like I don't have gaming doors or anything. No, I'm sick.
Hey, I enjoy gaming. I don't regret, you know.
I can excuse every defeat of mine by a medical condition. End of story. I'm not a bad gamer. I'm sick.
excuses.
Goddamn liar.
For 30 years.
So, Starpoint's been out for about a week now. What's the reception been?
Well, so far, from what I gathered, it's been very nice. I mean, the most complaints we got are the ones that you read. So basically, screwed up achievements, some stutters between crossing the sectors, and some people reported that it can be solved by installing the game on external USB 3.0 hard drive. So basically, it loads faster. And, some people ask about the price and ask why there is no demo for the game. I agree, it would be nice to have a demo so people can see what they're buying, because with indies, everybody is just holding their wallets and thinking about should I just wait for the new sale of AAA titles or just go all out before Christmas and buy this game I know nothing about and don't have a chance to even try it.
You guys able to make a demo? Is that something that you can whip up? Or I know some games have like a time trial where you download the full game and you get like an hour or two of free play with the game until it's locked?
We are looking into the ways we could do something to accommodate that need. We absolutely understand the need. It's a big game. It's not a $3 game, so people should be able to check it out a bit. But for the demo, the problem is it's a we spoke earlier today. We exactly tried to remove all the possible limits in the game. And there are no limits, no artificial limits. The game will not stop you to go anywhere, do anything. And in that kind of completely open game, how do you make a demo?
Okay. Yeah, and actually, if you get give the people the start of the game demo, they won't experience anything because as you progress through the game, you get better ships and more turrets, and everything becomes more epic. And you can give people the demo where they can fly with the starting ship and shoot or do three missions or anything. So we should actually do a demo of level 80 ship and level 80 character. And if he saves that game, what stops him from just continuing? If he buys the full game, what stops him of just continuing that level 80 game? So, yeah, it's technical problem with a complex game like this to give people demo. It's not Forza Horizon where you can give him one car and one track, and if he likes it, he wants to get the game.
Yeah, no. That's what I was saying. I know some games they have where you get the full game and you just get like an hour to play it or 2 hours to play it. I know with EA Access, you get 10 hours with all new EA titles, and it's basically the full game, and you just continue where you left off if you buy the full game. I'm not sure if something like that with like an hour time limit on it would work with you guys or not.
Well, I'm not sure because, as I told you, if you play Starpoint Gemini 2 for 2 hours, you still won't experience the best of the game because it comes later, and when you get better skills, better gear, better ships and mercenaries and fighter wings that you can deploy, that's where the fun starts. So basically in 2 hours, you cannot say, okay, this game is bloody boring and it will continue to be that way for the next 2,000 hours, because it won't. And it's hard to make a demo for a game like this.
Yeah, true. So, are there any thoughts on like having any kind of sales? I'm not sure how that stuff works on Xbox, like if you have to, you know, schedule something ahead of time or anything like that.
I think you do have to. We never were against any sales on the PC version, so we actually offered the game quite a number of times on different sales, and the reception was very good. On Xbox, I actually have no idea how it works. We have some initial information that you do have to schedule something, then you need to get it approved, so you need to get the certain time slot for a certain proposition, and I have absolutely no idea how exactly it works. On Steam, it's not easy to get a good slot, good timeline for some featured discount on Steam, but the rules are pretty simple. So if you get it or not, you know what you have to do to try to get it. On Microsoft, it's not on part of Microsoft at all. It's on part of us because we're new here. So I actually still don't understand that system, how it works. We're familiarizing ourselves to that right now. And as soon as we learn how that works, we'll be happy to use this system any way that can help us and players as well.
Well, you know that if the game goes on sale, we will absolutely tweet out about it and try to get more eyes on the game.
Yeah, but that's the biggest problem with indie teams, visibility and raising awareness about the existence of the game. We are not a AAA studio that can just throw $1 million to PR and every child and woman in the mall will know about Starpoint Gemini 2. So basically, you guys and people like you, gamers and media, is everything we have. And if they don't tweet about the game, share the news, nobody even knows that we exist. So,
Well, you weren't referring to us as media, were you? Because we are so far from media.
No, no, I said gamers okay. and media. Okay. Gamers and media.
Well, yeah. we're technically media. We're just, you know, poor.
this was actually, if you missed it, this was actually an undercover attempt to get a service from you.
Of course. Free one, of course.
Free advertising.
Yeah. Feel free to use our quotes. You know, this game is good. We enjoyed this video game. Asteroid mining.
PR quotes is like, I'm terrible at this game. Taras Boutre, the SML podcast.
Eat my ballsack.
Joe Camisa, the SML podcast.
I think that's the first time you've ever used my full name during a podcast.
Possibly. I don't like to acknowledge you.
Yeah, well, I mean, usually you say Taras, and the guests are like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, he's got a fucked up name. They live in Croatia. They know what kind of weird names are out there.
Well, I mean, they're closer to my country of origin than we are, so.
I mean, we're talking to a guy named Mario. What kind of name is that?
It's like Italian stallions.
Yeah.
Now we can start calling you Rocky.
I mean,
Luigi or Mario. Well,
if I ever have to start trying to pronounce their last names, like, this show is over.
Yeah, one guy tried it and broke his tongue.
Zeno Zokalj and Mario Mihokovic?
Yeah, almost.
Almost. Yeah, one out of two, not bad.
Zeno Zokalj and Mario Mihokovic.
Okay. Vich, okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm... My grandfather was Ukrainian, so I always got to hear a lot of the pronunciations. So.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah.
So I can make my tongue curl in ways that most Americans can't.
And girls like that.
Ladies.
Who is that directed to?
Single women who happen to be listening.
I think he's hitting on you guys. If you're ever in Vegas, look me up.
Basically, what I wanted to say that I'm streaming the last 2 or 3 days. I'm streaming live on Twitch in the evenings. I mean, my evenings or nights. I'm streaming Starpoint Gemini 2 and answering questions that people are asking on the live stream. So I will continue to do this for a few more days. And every newcomer that can follow Twitch streams or anything can get their questions answered. The only thing I should do, and I realized that today, since I export all the Twitch live streams to YouTube later, I never read the question aloud. So basically, I'm answering the questions that weren't asked in YouTube, and it sounds retarded and out of context. So basically, it's a learning experience for me too. So,
man, I should just do that with emails that people send in. I'll just be like, all right, our first email is...
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you're absolutely correct, Zach. Thanks for asking.
That is a very good point. I'll ask the guys.
Hey. Guys, your thoughts on that?
What do you guys think of this thing over here?
All right.
Well, I know it is getting very close to midnight over in Croatia, so I guess we should wrap this up. It has once again been an absolute blast talking with you guys.
Thank you.
I was able to hop in this time. My job didn't make me come in on a Sunday.
And I have to say, I was never in Skype call with somebody who went fishing. For Christ's sakes, what was that? I mean, it was awesome. I didn't expect that.
We don't care where they come from. We're just glad they want to be on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was actually one of the original hosts of this show for first 5 or 6 episodes before his girlfriend at the time got into a car wreck and he had to stop doing the show with us to take care of her. We have him back every now and then, and when I was offered the opportunity to have a Monster High game sent to us, I figured him and his kids would be a great idea for it, and it got him involved with the show again, so that's always
fun. It was nice getting to know him, yeah. And that squishy sounds of walking through the swamp, probably dragging a corpse, with excuse of fishing, right? Fishing.
Oh, God, so I hope so.
You guys are already familiar with Bogue.
Yeah, we figured it all out.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Bogue.
I have an idea for next time. Next time, we need to have a competition. Who's going to join the call from the most weird place?
Oh, shit. I live in Vegas. I can win that one in a heartbeat.
Yeah, definitely.
So
if you get married to a priest in Vegas, that would be even better.
I'm just going to call in from an Asian massage parlor.
Hold on, guys. Happy ending time. Oh, I was way too quick today.
I'm trying to get myself arrested and make the show from the cell.
That would be fun.
I think I have a right on a one phone call.
Specified how long can it be, so...
Oh, man, that would be so cool to have someone do an interview from jail. It's like, yeah, it's my one phone call. What's going on?
I need my one phone call from Skype.
No, I don't need video. They just do an audio show.
Yeah.
So, Pappy, since I have you on, is Vegas still overrun by Irish people?
What?
with UFC in Vegas this week and Conor McGregor.
Oh, no, I didn't go outside this weekend, man. Okay. I knew what was going on.
Okay, because I heard Vegas was, like, conquered by Irish and Brazilians.
Traffic has been shit all weekend, so I did my bare minimum, like, shopping and stuff, and I dropped shit off at the Queeners Friday. I'm not even going to go get it till tomorrow because my odds of getting hit by a drunken Irishman right now are so high. Now, in all honesty, that's a loaded question because anytime anything happens in Vegas, it gets overrun with people from other countries, other cities, other states. And the fights are the worst, man.
Well, I was going to say, I know this Conor McGregor fight was like the huge one.
Oh, yeah. And I
after
made a mistake,
last night, I wouldn't be surprised if they're all still celebrating.
I what the fuck was the big boxing match earlier in the year? I'm just
Mayweather Pacquiao.
I made the mistake of going to a friend's house. I live in the south side of the city, and my friend was on the far north. I made the mistake of going there about 2 hours before fight time, and what normally takes me 20 minutes took me like 45.
You dumb asshole.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that the UFC is in Vegas. No.
Oh, God, they're huge here. Like the MGM especially, like weeks before the fight, they put up a big ring in their entryway and, you know, for photo ops and this and that. And it's always crazy.
Yeah.
You can beat people there.
Well, you can stand, I think you can stand in the ring, but, it's more just for, you know, more publicity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. UFC is basically based out of Las Vegas and at least half of their events are run from Vegas.
Yeah, and most of the time it doesn't make a difference, but when a big thing like this is going on, like a really anticipated fight, it gets crazy. Half of LA just drives over here.
Yeah, that and they had three events in the past three nights. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All I know is that this is when they make their money, man. Like, because the hotel's actually – I stayed at a hotel on the Strip, New York, for $30 on like a Wednesday night. That same room Friday night, because there was something going on, was $250.
Jeez.
Like, they know exactly how much they can get away with charging, depending on the size of the event.
Well, it's a similar thing on Gamescom in Cologne. So, basically, the hotel rooms that are like 40 euros a night are 200. Mario, is it 220 or something when the Gamescom week is starting.
It's about five or six times more.
Yeah. And I understand that they can do it, but it always sucks when you're one of those people trying to make the trip, you know. It's hard enough to afford a vacation nowadays with a lot of people's incomes, but then to know that you're better off knowing somebody in the city who's going to let you crash at their couch.
Yeah. Well, not everyone does it. I mean, I was in IT for 9.5 years. I'm a Microsoft IT professional certified. And I was going to WinDays. It's a Microsoft annual convention in Croatia. And what they do is they agree with all hotels to lower the prices. And the hotels with 4 stars that cost like I don't know, 40 or 50 euros a night, drop to 20 euros a night during the convention. So it's basically a much better path, if you ask me.
Yeah, with conventions, I think it's convention specific, though. Like, conventions here in Vegas, whichever hotel hosts it always gives discounts. But for just public events like fights and stuff like that, it's just pure money making.
Yeah, it's different, yeah. One thing is convention, the other thing is public fight, yeah.
Yeah, because there's like anime conventions and game conventions here. Like, I know with the PlayStation Experience, I forget which place hosted it last summer, but they were giving like 60% discount rooms if you had, you know, PSX tickets.
Yeah. And since the fall of Roman Empire, UFC is the next better thing to getting to watching someone getting beat to a pulp or something.
Yeah, I mean, give it about 10 more years and we'll eventually see someone fist fighting a tiger.
Oh my God, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. I hope it's you, Pappy. I hope you have to fight.
Why the hell? Nobody would tune in. Like, the odds
would
be too. No,
maybe,
the odds.
Maybe.
Like, you couldn't bet on that.
No.
Well, you can start training with Potato. He's much smaller, and I think it would be a nice way to train for the tiger.
Oh, he's allergic to cats. He won't do shit.
Yeah.
Oh, too bad.
He'll just cry and be like, my eyes itch.
Potato's more like a dog. I would just play fetch and then shut the door on her when she ran off.
Oh, okay. Potato, you're so dumb. And she's...
Yeah, that's why I like her, because she's like a dog.
And she's still on my desk, and now she's trying to climb up. Oh, my God, cat.
All right. So, that's that. Cat. Dumb.
Good. this has been a blast again, and I think that we will do this in the future, like when we earn the first $1 million on SPG2 and decide to implement all DLCs. And...
Oh, I can't wait.
And shit and more languages and stuff like that.
Yeah, worst comes to worst, when you guys are ready to put out your next game, you know, get a hold of us. We'll be more than happy to have you on the show again.
Yeah, especially if it's coming to Xbox.
Yeah, of course.
Hint, hint.
Of course.
Yeah.
The next time we have a game, when it's an early stage and it's full of bugs, then we have to talk about it.
I love finding bugs. I'll play a game.
They do have Xbox game preview on the Xbox One now, so they do have the unfinished releases thing going on.
Oh, I forgot to ask you about it. How does it work? Is it similar to early access on Steam? So basically, you can put unfinished game, then people can report the bugs in some way. I don't know.
I know there have only been a handful of games released through the preview so far. I really don't know how all of it works on like a technical level, like if you have to have meet certain specifications with the game, if it already has to be established on Steam. I really don't know how any of that works, because I think there's only 3 or 4 games on there right now, and then Ark is coming in the next week or so.
Oh, Ark, the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that game.
Well, basically, they will probably give you a discounted price on the game, and you will have to bear with them until they fix all the bugs and stuff. And
yeah,
when the game
much.
Is released, you get the game, and you got it earlier for a discounted price, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they did that with Layers of Fear, where the initial price is lower. They did it with Elite Dangerous, where I think it started at like $26 on game preview, and I think it's 40 now.
Yeah, I know with Layers of Fear, it was the first 60% of the game, and it was, what, $10, $15? But you get the rest of the game when it comes out.
Yeah, of course, like on Steam's early access.
Yeah.
But unfortunately on Steam, people can trash your game now on reviews in early access.
Yeah.
And that's something that costs indie developers.
Which is stupid, because if you put out a game that says, hey, this game is pre-alpha, I just want to get some opinions on it. It's pre-alpha. You got to take
this
it with
a grain. This game sucks. There's like no things. Like, it sucks.
Although I recommend, if you guys haven't seen it, watch a couple of playthrough videos of a pre-alpha game on Steam right now called Who's Your Daddy?
Oh, God.
I actually saw it.
It's hilarious, I had to say. Like, I have no interest in the game, you know, in pre-alpha mode, but watching other people play it was a laugh and a half. Like, I was just
dying. But on Steam, there are a million of games on Steam, and from time to time, something just leaks on a green light and then gets banned or anything, because there was this one game, like, a few months ago. The guy made a game where you shoot lesbians, gay people, I think even Jews or something like that. I mean, it was not politically incorrect. It was sick. And you get points for killing, like 20 points, fake down, and stuff like that. So it actually was released on Greenlight on Steam. And it Holy took shit. Steam like 24 hours to take that game down.
How the fuck did that get through?
Because people are voting for Greenlight. And Steam, for some reason, I don't understand that. For some reason, Steam did not rate the game or anything. They just put the game up for voting. And it passes. It passed votes. It was not even a full game. It was a video of a game that was supposed to be greenlighted. So people were voting on that, and nobody... I mean, it was reported, of course. But it took Steam like 24 hours to take it down from Steam, so...
Damn. There's some fucked up people out there.
Yeah, unfortunately. Some the people who voted for it were probably mostly doing it just for a laugh, you know.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I mean, the comments below... And it was not a hate or hateful speech against Jews or gay people or anybody. It was just funny remarks about the game and how the fuck did he come up with that idea. So
there's some, I mean, like, there's good fucked up like us on SML, and then there's bad. Like,
well, I mean,
bad,
yeah, and that's the difference. Yeah, that Who's Your Daddy? It's two player, and one guy's trying to. Is the dad trying to keep the baby alive, whereas the guy playing the baby's trying to drink Drano and cook himself in the oven and drown? And it's stupid, but it's silly stupid, you know. But then you've got the other side, like, yeah, shooting members, you know, with different sexual orientation and shit like that. It's just, you know, someone – I'm glad most of the people on Steam are like, look at this guy, look at this idiot. But I have a feeling that the guy who developed that was honestly behind those kind of, you know, beliefs, which is even more sad.
Yeah.
Well, it took him some time to develop the game. So basically, nobody makes the game they don't believe into and they don't want to do. That would mean he's crazy. I mean, hey, I have some free time. I love gay people. I love gay community and LGBT community. Let's make a game where I kill them all. goes like that.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, we got to talk about something happy to end the show instead of fucked up. Like,
just how happy.
Here's a good idea. If you guys happy ever release an update or a patch for Starpoint Gemini 2 on the Xbox One, you should put us in the game.
In what exact way?
I'll be like a captain or something, like one of those guys you could hire.
I can suggest that. I mean, basically, we did that during the early access with our community. we asked people to send us their pictures, and the background story of their characters, and we put them in the game. So basically, some of our most prominent community members are in the game. Fun fact, one guy sent us the picture of a woman. And we said, okay, what the fuck is this? That's not you. Of course, that is not me. I mean, that's my wife. I won't hunt myself around the universe. So he sent his wife, made a background story on his wife, and she's a hero in the game and bounty in the game, which you can hunt down and kill.
His ex-wife.
All right, so
probably.
So Captain Cam gives you a fetch quest where you just have to go get fried chicken for him.
Yeah,
and an Xbox.
Yep, you have to rescue my cat Potato.
we'll place her on an off-world prison in the game.
Yes, that would be fantastic.
For inadvertently murdering an entire city
just to save my stupid cat.
Cat's in prison because she shut down the power grid.
Oh my god!
By jumping up on the off switch.
Yeah, I'm honestly waiting for one day that she jumps up on the desk and hangs up the Skype call while I'm doing a show.
It's inevitable.
Meow. Yeah. God
after
damn
so
it,
many episodes, a miracle it didn't happen already.
I know. I'm honestly shocked for how much she just jumps up and walks across the thing that it hasn't hung up yet.
But. if we're talking funny ways to end the game, or to end the the show, we were talking about glitches and stuff earlier. I found a really fun little glitch in Fallout this morning where if I crouch and stab raiders with a switchblade, I've got a good chance of sending them skyrocketing. They just fly away. It's pretty fantastic.
I found a glitch in Witcher 3 the day before, where he was swimming, and when I ran out of water, he kept swimming through the world.
Just oh, that's great.
And, I could even dive to the ground, and I could come up, but not indefinitely, like the level of the house roofs. So basically,
oh my god,
it was hilarious. I'm actually sorry I didn't film that one. But.
That's what the Kinect is for. Xbox, record that, and you're good.
Yeah.
I had that in Dragon Age Inquisition. My my character was like treading water, and then I came out, and she was just treading water about 2 feet above the ground, and I just explored for like 10 minutes that way. Like,
yeah, same thing happened here. So basically, yeah.
Oh man. Well, I guess we should wrap this. We are now nearing 2 hours, so. I guess we will try shutting up and ending this show.
That's 2 hours already. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 2 hours.
I thought it was about 45 minutes.
My timer is showing 156 and 14 seconds.
Yeah, and I can go back to watching the Packers beat the Cowboys, so this is good.
Yeah. So to wrap things up, you guys know how the final words are. Do you have anything to say to our listeners or to Pappy in general, I guess? You could just tell him to fuck off again, I guess.
Well, I will just say thank you for coming today, Pappy, and it was nice to have you here with us. And I will not tell you to go fuck yourself or anything because you will have a mouthful of Joe's ball sex.
Oh, yeah, I'm busy.
Yeah. So it has been a blast. I will go now and stream Starpoint Gemini 2 for newcomers on Xbox, and we should definitely do this again.
Yeah, man, it was an absolute blast again. I have a lot of interviews this week, so it might not be anytime soon. But
no, well, so anytime in 2016, just get a hold of us, guys.
Yeah, of course.
So in advance, so we really need some booze next time.
Oh my God, yes, you need to be drunk next time.
Yeah, we still have shit. I forget which studio, but we had two guys on, and the one dude just got hammered on our
Motiga
show. Yeah, Motiga Games, and so no one's topped that yet, like in terms of drunkenness on the show.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You just got drunker and drunker as the show went on, and just by the end,
he was the first and I think only time that Joe actually had to edit part of it out.
Yeah.
So, are you throwing us a challenge?
Yeah, you've been challenged.
Yes, the gauntlet has been thrown down. We want to hear you guys get belligerent and drunk and just insane.
Do you have any idea how Bulgarian accent sounds when you're drunk?
Well, it'll be the first time we have to subtitle the show on YouTube.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. There'll be audio subtitles, though. So.
And you might actually censor it. Impose censorship for the first time.
No, we will never actually censor out curse words because that requires work.
It would be fucking inappropriate to censor.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
That was a good answer.
So I guess any final farewell from you guys for the listeners?
Oh, fuck you, let's go to sleep.